You can take, when you look at these notes, I'd like you to do this. Right on the front cover, would you please put a circle? If you got a pen right now, put a circle right up at the top. And then, in the middle of that circle, would you write the large letters, please? This will help. I trust me on this. Right in the middle of that circle, these large capital letters, P-C. And then would you strike a line through those letters, P-C. Why? Because the prophets of God were never what? PC. They were never, ever politically correct. And today we're going to be talking about prophets, poets, and politicians. The prophets of God spoke for God. And they said a lot of really, really tough things. So much so that when this chapter of faith, this great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, when the author to Hebrews, as it's summarizing the lives of so many people that really, really trusted God, listen, and you'll see these words in your notes in the opening paragraph from Hebrews chapter 11. It says this: some of them, some of these prophets, faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword, they went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Anyone want to apply for the job? Wow. One of the prophets that we're going to be talking about today didn't want to apply for the job. Matter of fact, he didn't want to take the job. He did not want to take it. Life was tough for a prophet. Today, in the culture that we live in, we walk around like we're on eggshells regarding that which is right and wrong. Even courageous people who go to work every day, pay their bills. Sometimes they speak the truth to their children. They speak the truth some of the people in their church even. But boy, when it comes to getting out there in the world just a little bit beyond them, whoa. I don't want to go there. Don't want to go there. These prophets had a tough time. And they put an exclamation point. They put this huge exclamation point on something that it wasn't like do this and don't do this. It wasn't some long list of do's and don'ts. They didn't put an exclamation point on cultural issues or things that didn't matter. The huge exclamation point that they put in is captured in the sixth verse of Hebrews chapter 11, which says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith in Him and what He says. Not some nebulous sort of thing like, I remember when my Uncle Ed said to me, he said, well, John, we were facing the death of my mom and a horrible, horrible diagnosis. He said, John, we've just got to believe that she's going to get better. You know, if you just believe enough. That's not faith. That may be the power of positive thinking, but that's not faith. Faith is confidence in God who says, this is what I'm like. Do you believe this? This is what I require of you. Do you believe this? This is where I'm going. Will you go with me? You know, the prophets of God were not, you know, let me tell you what prophecy is. The prophets of God didn't always predict But they always said, this is the way it is, and this is what he's like. And if you don't go that way, then this will happen. Isaiah. We're going to look at two books very, very briefly today. They're huge books. But I want you all to know, if you're visiting with us, our school families, you families that are here with the dedication of your children, I want you to know that what we're doing today and what we've been doing for a number of weeks, we've encouraged our people to read God's Word. Some of us are reading through God's Word this year from beginning to end. We're doing about 3 chapters a day. And one of the people in our church, one of the leaders in our church said, could we do a little bit of a brief survey of where the Scripture is going? So we can kind of maybe wrap our minds around it, connect the dots. So that's what we're doing. And so we're just quickly covering where these various books are going. Book of Isaiah. You might want to open your Bibles. Right about in the center is the book of Psalms. Then you go Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then the book of Isaiah. So if you go right to the middle of your Bible, or the Bible on the rack in front of you, it's Psalms, the big book in the middle. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. I'm going to say just a few things. There's some things that you could jot down, a few notes that might be helpful to connect the dots for you as you read the book of Isaiah. The name of Isaiah, his name means salvation is from the Lord. Yahweh, the Lord. Salvation is from him, or the Lord. By his very name, he saves. Isaiah is called of all the prophets, and there are five major prophets, and then they're followed by 12 minor prophets. And Pastor Dennis Moeller a few weeks ago did a quick survey over 2 Sundays of the minor prophets. But the prophet Isaiah was called the Prince of Prophets. The Prince of Prophets. He is the most quoted in the New Testament of all the prophets. The absolutely most quoted. The Messiah, Jesus, shows up in the words of the prophet over and over and over again. I'm not going to give you a list this morning of all the chapters in Isaiah's 66 chapters that say, it talk about the Messiah. He's coming. Does anybody know what the most... What would you say would be the most familiar Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus the Messiah? Come on, somebody say something. Comes to your mind about the Messiah, about his birth. For unto us a child is born. Chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9. Great. That comes from our superintendent of Whittier Christian Schools. Let's give him a hand. Whew. I did not prepare him for that. Whoa. Do we do a good job at the school? Amen. All right. Okay. How about a chapter from the book of Isaiah that deals with the cross of Christ, calling Jesus the suffering servant? Suffering servant. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. That answer comes from one of our newest elders at Calvary Baptist and Whittier Christian. Let's give him a hand. All right. You didn't know this was going to be so interactive today, did you? Isaiah spoke. He was really an important political figure among Judah. Now you understand there were two, Israel and Judah were divided. They were divided. They started out as all one, they were all God's people. And after King David and King Solomon, well first it was Saul, David, and then Solomon. But after Solomon, his sons kind of, they wanted to wrestle the kingdom from him, and they were headstrong, and they were idolatrous. Well, why wouldn't they be idolatrous? Guess what they grew up in what they saw in their home? Their dad married 300 women, had 700 concubines, And with all of these, the loves of his life, he brought into his home the things that he would have to love with them. I mean, he was stuck in the middle, in one sense of the word, but he brought with them the stuff from their homes, including their idols. And his sons grew up in a home where there was idolatry. Now, toward the end of his life, Solomon, who had been so wise, he started to kind of come back. And that was, we talked last week about his comeback song in the book of Ecclesiastes, saying, when you leave God out of the picture, when you leave him out of the picture, when you leave him out of the picture, life is absolutely meaningless. And here's the end. At the end of Ecclesiastes, he said, here's the end of the matter. It comes down to this. It comes down to this one thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God. Recognize that he's here and I'm accountable to him. And go the direction he set out. The kingdom was divided. 10 northern tribes of Israel were called Israel, and 2 southern tribes called Judah. And Isaiah, his message was to the kings and to the people, the kings and to the people of Judah. They had watched as the northern kingdom fell. They watched as the northern kingdom was scared out of their minds and were attacked relentlessly by Syria again and again and again. And Isaiah kept on saying, don't go that way. And they wondered. Judah kept on thinking, the kings, their kings, and the people thought, we hear the hoof prints, the hoof sounds of war, the clanging of swords. We are surrounded. Who's going to help us? And Isaiah said over and over and over again, there's only one alliance that you should make, and that is with the living God. Him you can trust. I said that there was Assyria that relentlessly pounded Israel. But now Judah was afraid of Assyria, which was an even mightier, more vicious nation. And they wondered, with whom should we make alliances? And they kept on making alliances with people that would in the end turn on them and defile them. The prophets, especially Isaiah, give us a picture of who God is and how seriously we need to take him. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 1. And sometimes, folks, it's a great thing for us to pick up our Bibles, open it up, and even read these things aloud. You don't always have to start out with the names of people, but I want you to listen to these first few words from Isaiah chapter 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah son of Amoz saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. You think God has a right to be ticked off? You ever raised a child that you poured everything to? You stood on sidelines, or you listened to concerts. You dutifully drove those children here and there, all over the place. You cashed in your savings account to put them in school. You gave up so much for them. And then you showed up one day. Elementary parents, you probably haven't hit this one yet. But when they get into our junior high, they come to our junior high. You go to one of their. You go and you stand around on campus, and they'll come up to you and say, "How long are you going to be here?" Might not happen when they're 12. Might not 13, but my guess is by 14 you'll hear it at least once. And in your heart you will be pierced to the soul. We have a great 8th grade historical study trip, 12 days to the East Coast. It is amazing. It is the state of the art. It is the best. Man, it is an amazing trip. Worth absolutely every penny. And I'll never forget the day when one of our school moms walked across the patio and she was just kind of, she had tears in her eyes. She said, I just told my daughter that I got accepted to be a chaperone, her chaperone of the trip. And she said, you've ruined my day. Beautiful mom, beautiful daughter. Ugly moment. So God says, hear, O Israel, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, and the donkey's owner, his own manger, excuse me. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of vipers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They've spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Turn to chapter 6. You think God is pleased with his people? Does he love them? Absolutely. Loves them passionately. But is he pleased? No. Chapter 6, the first few verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. The angels covering their faces from the glory of the Lord. With two they covered their feet, even on that place on holy ground. With 2 others they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried out. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Never, ever, ever be flippant with the name of the Lord. Never be flippant when you're talking about his presence. He alone is holy. And Isaiah, this holy man of God, who's the prince of the prophets, whose words were quoted by Jesus more than he quoted any other prophet. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And know this was no false humility. When you see God, you understand his presence. He's present. It's a humbling thing. And I asked the question in the back of those notes. I asked the question right in the middle of the page. I ask you this question. When has a vision of God changed you? And some of you would say, I've never seen him. I sure would love to see him. Listen, folks, the way to answer that question is, if you spend time in God's word, if you say to him, Lord, open my eyes that I will behold wonderful things from your word, he'll answer that prayer. And you'll have an encounter with him in his word. Don't expect to have an encounter with him if you're going to leave your Bible on the shelf. Don't expect it. But spend time alone with him in his word, and he'll speak to you. And get together with God's people in a small group and talk about his word, and he'll speak to you. And come on a Sunday to a church where Jesus is preached week in and week out, and he will speak to you. What do you do with the vision of him, with what you know of him? It will change your life. It will. As it changes all those who listen to him. Isaiah chapter 40. Oh, there's just so many chapters here that are important. But Isaiah chapter 40. Absolutely one of... There's so many things. Chapter 44 is a chapter about idolatry. And all forms of idolatry. Anything that gets between you and God... It could be money. It could be sex. It could be something even as wonderful as your children. could be the idol of your life. The pursuit of your career could be the idol of your life. Isaiah 44 says, don't put your confidence in anything, anything. But Isaiah chapter 40, oh, it's just, this is full of, God speaks to these people who are afraid. And they're afraid of the nations rattling their swords. And in verse 15, this is what he says. God, these are God's sentiments to his people who are trusting maybe some other alliance. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Verse 18, to whom then will you compare God? And what image will you compare him to? Then he talks about idols. An idol is something that only a person can make. Verse 23, he brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Do you understand, folks? You listen to the news today, and I am just about, I think of myself as a news junkie, but I am just up to here with this garbage. As the people who are the most powerful people in the world sound like a bunch of thumb-sucking eighth graders, or sixth graders, or fourth graders. People that call themselves leaders of this world, who change their idea of what is right and wrong based on opinion polls and what it can get them politically. And God says, to whom will you compare me? I reduce princes to nothing, and I consider them like grasshoppers. Now, do you want to trust them? Are you serious? These spineless leaders who've scratched each other's backs until it's just so sickening. Stop it and trust me. You think God is kidding about this? This was a real life situation. If you think our political situation is tough right now, if you think we're PC, man, good night. What was going on with Israel at this time? Verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Who do you want to hitch your wagon to? I know some of you got some pretty tough times. You've had some pretty tough days. Some of you will have some tough days. All of us will have our tough days. To whom then will you compare God? And where will you go for help? He says, if you hitch your wagon to me, I never get tired, and I never lose strength, and I know where I'm going. Keep following me. You see, his message was for them, and it is for us. Read the prophets. Read the prophets. And, you know, just let it sink in. Ask yourself this one. If I ask the question here, how do you read the prophets? Just number one, say, Lord, show me. Number two, have a good study Bible. Get a good study Bible. If you want a recommendation, if you don't have one, come talk to me. I'll recommend a dozen different study Bibles. But wrap your mind and your heart around the prophets and let them lift your understanding of how great is our God. How great is he? And then dare to ask yourself the personal question, am I following him? Look at the book of Jeremiah, just a very few minutes. Jeremiah, I want to ask you a question. Did you watch History Channel's The Bible? Some of you watched that? It was different. I kind of wondered, what's this going to be like? Some of it I wasn't too pleased with. I just I guess I kind of lost it when Jesus had done this great miracle with the, and by the way, I'm not trying to knock this, but Jesus had done this great miracle for Peter, and he brings in this huge load of fish, and Peter's just like, wow. He said to him, what are we going to do now? And Jesus said, change the world. I'm sorry, it just didn't grab me. But I was really grabbed by the image of the prophet Jeremiah. Man, he was some scuzzy-looking prophet. Really, really bad. Hair, I mean, of course, I'd probably be jealous of anybody that's got hair. But he had just hair everywhere. And this long, really unkempt beard. And he wore a robe around, I mean, just everywhere. And I could almost smell it through the TV, you know. Just, he was a prophet, but he had the ear of a number of the prophets of Judah. And he followed on the heels of Isaiah. Jeremiah did not want to be a prophet. Let's look at it. Jeremiah chapter 1. This is the book that follows right after Isaiah. So if you were following along after Isaiah chapter 66, I'll just pick up in verse 4. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is what he's saying to Jeremiah. God is calling Jeremiah to be his man. Before I formed you in the word, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. I don't want to do this. You like to be unpopular? He was really, really unpopular. Because he would say things to the kings of Judah like, guys, God's wrath is coming. It's a done deal. His people have violated his promises and the direction he set over and over and over and over again. And he said, you are now going to be overwhelmed by your enemy, Babylon. They're going to come in. They're going to ransack your temple, your place of worship, and they're going to haul many of you off to Babylon, especially those that they can get something from. They're going to haul you off to Babylon, and you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Settle down when you get there. Don't be thinking about a way to get out of this. Don't be looking for an answer from some prophets, because there's plenty of guys you can pay money to out there that are going to tell you it's all going to get better pretty soon. You ever find yourself watching the news just hoping somebody will say something, it's going to be, my 401k is going to be okay? Somebody please say it's going to be okay? Would somebody please say my house is going to be all right? My kids are going to be okay? It's all going to be okay? Everything's good? Well, the prophets, the kings were looking for, well, somebody, I called you as a prophet in here. Tell me what's going on. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, you might just as well open the doors of Jerusalem and say, come on in, cuff me, take me away. Go ahead, because it's going to happen. That was God's message. And when you get to the land, when you get there to Babylon, go in. This is Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Oh, you got to read. Isaiah 29. A lot of people claim Isaiah 29:11 to be their favorite verse in the Bible, or one of their favorites. It goes like this: I know the plans I have for you, plans for your good and not for your harm. Isn't that a great verse? I love that verse. It's so much like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, when Paul says, I'm very confident that the one who began a good work in you will keep doing it until the day of Christ Jesus. Similar sounding promises. God says, I know the plans I have for you and you and you and you. And I know the plans I have for this church. And I know the plans that I have for this school. And I know I have the plans I have for your family. And I know the plans that I have for all of you. Plans for your good and not for your harm. To give you a future and a hope. But just before he said it, see, you've got to read it in its context. Just before he said that, he said, judgment's coming. And when they haul you off to Babylon, build houses, start businesses, get comfortable, and make a difference where you're living. Make a difference. Go on and live life. And then he says, I believe in about verses 7 or 8, don't listen to those people that say it's all going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. But this is the deal. You've got to seek me with all your heart. Because if you seek me, now this is the promise you can cash in on, folks. Every single one of us can. If you'll seek me, you will surely find me if you seek me with all your heart. But you got to lay your heart on the table. You got to say, whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. I will follow you. But don't expect, don't be looking for some answers that say, you can have it all and still do your own thing and leave God out of the picture. Doesn't work that way. Just doesn't work. Get your mind and your heart around Isaiah. Get your mind and your heart around Jeremiah. Jeremiah is kind of all over the place. It's not the kind of book that is so organized that begins here and it just builds and builds and builds. It just keeps grabbing pieces of the history of Israel and keeps saying, trust him and him alone. I hope you love God's word. Even those parts that are hard to read, even those parts of God's word where he puts his finger on something that makes you squirm a little. Or maybe a lot. Because he loves you so much, he wants to get our attention. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Father, thanks so much for your word. I thank you that you love us. Even these hard words, Lord, I thank you that you care so much to say these things and to invite us to follow you with all our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your word would come alive in my life, day in and day out. I pray that for everyone here who would want to truly be a follower of Jesus. Thanks for the prophets and their words that remind us how great you are. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.